I'm a professor of health science at Towson University in Baltimore. But looking at everybody else's bios, I'm thinking, oh, I should have put all this other stuff in here. I actually did a dissertation on community health centers, community-controlled health centers in Boston for a political science degree. And then I wound up working on IRBs because of a previous job at the State Health Department, where I helped develop the policy in the first place, and then I became a member, and now I've been chair of it for quite a while. And I'm also chair of the IRB at, I was also chair of the IRB at Towson. A couple of years ago, I did a little sabbatical at the Hastings Center, so thinking about IRB stuff, so it's kind of fun to see some of those folks again. My research and teaching has focused on responsible research, ethical issues in healthcare, health policy, and policies for older adults, because I'm on the section board for the aging and public health section as well. And I was a member of Serena's group a couple of years ago looking at trying to develop curricula for IRBs to be able to teach about, or be able to know more about community-based research. So this is the second time I've tried to do this survey, and it hasn't been totally successful either time, I have to admit. Sean gave me this wonderful 2,000-and-something name list of IRB chairs and their addresses, but it's just their mail addresses, and I don't have a grad assistant or money to go send out a bazillion emails, letters. So I tried again on the online method with limited success, but it's worth talking about a little bit anyway. All right, how do I get this thing to go?
Use the keyboard.
That would be too logical. All right, I don't have any personal financial relationships. So here's the question. I did a survey, again, IRB members asking their perceptions of key areas for concern, and especially highlighting community-based research as one of the areas to have them think about. We distributed it through these two listservs. As of a week ago when this thing had to be loaded up, I had 50 responses. As of yesterday, I had 52. So it's not really powerful. But I asked what sorts of things they had problems. I did a lot of open-ended questions this time just to get some more sense. Got quite a few responses about the question about the types of things they have trouble reviewing. Protocols from other institutions came out on top. Research in community settings was pretty high, though, on their list of concerns. And then projects by colleagues or other IRB members, projects that are already funded and they don't want to lose the money, and protocols funded by for-profit entities came up 9%. That's not... Anyway, I guess you can figure out the bottom number there. Some other areas they named that were difficult to review were studies about children, ethnographic studies, minimal risk studies done by non-researchers that were sort of sloppily presented, but they seemed minimal risk, but they were still nervous about it. studies about drug users, pressures to keep researchers at the institution, so therefore you must approve their study. Studies on prisoners, and where the person who is doing this research is the only expert on the topic, so you feel like there's a pressure to concede. So here's my little, I've got a bunch of charts, I'll drop some of them out. The orange is the more, this little teeny orange strip is the group that says there's 2% of the other IR, of the people responded, but other IRBs were more careful than theirs. 38% said they were less careful than theirs. Basically, most people who bothered to respond to the survey think we were a pretty tough, strong IRB. Why do we think these differences might exist? Expertise of the members, past history of the IRB, different topics. There were a number of responses that said they thought medical IRBs were less careful with social behavioral research. The status of the researcher. There was some perspective on central IRBs being less rigorous, but again, this is not a statistically significant study, but it's one of those concerns. And ones that are feeling like they're swamped with protocols, have to get them done, are less cautious. When is it appropriate to defer to another IRB? If it's being carried out almost exclusively at another site, 24% said we never defer, by George. If they both have very solid standards, if they have expertise, your IRB lab. And depends on the community being studied. Sometimes they will defer to another IRB if it's in a community that they really don't understand and they know they don't understand. What a concept. When have they found it hard to ensure truly informed consent? Student-teacher-staff relationships, MD-patient relationships, financial rewards for participating. Research with community partners was a little lower on the list on this one. again, this was an open-ended question. Research involving family members, about the same as community partners. When it's conducted in treatment settings, the IRB does scrutinize it more carefully. 37% said yes. 22% said it doesn't apply to them. When it's in community engaged settings, how carefully do they scrutinize it? Again, they said yes. It affects it. Now, that might make the could mean the way I didn't word the question properly. They might mean we don't care. We don't look closely at it if it's in a community. But I hope it doesn't mean that. Particularly challenging for their IRB scrutiny. Sean already mentioned some of these. International sites, clinical settings, psychiatric or cognitively impaired participants, community settings. But a lot of these different things could be community also. They just didn't say it that way. Have you seen differences in the oversight provided by IRBs in different kinds of settings? Is one of my key questions. Most open-ended responses to this one, often with lengthy paragraphs. I had to go back through and do some qualitative analysis and try to figure out what their key points were. Basically, 46% of them said they really can't tell without knowing what the other IRB is you're asking about. 20% said for-profits are less careful, they tend to rubber stamp. 17% said academic IRBs are more knowledgeable. Benefits and risks of centralized IRB review, consistent review, speed of review, and expertise, but only about two-thirds of the respondents answered this one. Risks, lack of awareness was the biggie, and that sort of jumped out, that there's a fear of if the IRB isn't nearby, they wouldn't necessarily know what you're dealing with. Difficult to trust the thoroughness of the review if you need to please the researchers. Issues about informing the IRBs at all the sites of this project about the same things. And 14% didn't see any benefits or risks. Okay, what kinds of IRBs are they affiliated with? I have a chart on this one. Well, 42% were with the research, this is again, of this bunch that responded. And 58% of them were involved with more than one IRB. So these are IRB junkies like me, you know, who are over-involved. And there probably is a 12-step program for it somewhere. Probably should be anyway. So 42% are within a research intensive, 35% with a hospital, 33% with a medical center. Non-research intensive college or university was about 30%. Nonprofit organizations. The freestanding IRBs, only 8%, and that is most likely the ones that would be called for-profit. How long have you been on an IRB? Again, this group is not, maybe it is representative, because it is addictive, and once you get on one, it's hard to get yourself to quit. More than 10 years, 39% of these folks have been on an IRB at more than 10 years. 6 to 10 is 25%, 1 to 5 is 31%. I do have some handouts if anybody's wildly excited. And their personal experience with research, because that seems, critical. And 91 point something percent of them had reviewed other people's proposals. Almost 60% had been a research subject themselves. 62% had been part of a research team, and 44.7% had been a principal investigator. So these are pretty knowledgeable folks. I also asked age and gender this time, just for the heck of it, partly because I'm on the aging and public health section. And I thought it was interesting that the biggest group by far was the 61 to 65-year-olds. And the blue is female and the orange is male. So you can sort of get a sense of that. So it's just sort of intriguing distribution of ages. But again, if you've been on an IRB for more than 10 years, you probably are more than 30 years old, logically. So they had a lot of experience. They've either been researchers themselves or administrators of research structures, most likely female and 61 to 65 years old, and 86% were Caucasian. So again, very self-determining group. So here are the key findings so far. It's difficult to get adequate responses to a survey on a listserv. Mostly people with universities and medical institutions are on this listserv, these listservs. I also had a little difficulty because my research department at my university was going through some transitions, and the person there who would normally put it out onto the research administrator listserv didn't get to it until the very last minute. So stuff can happen along those lines too. The main difficulties were reviewing research from other institutions with research in community settings next in no order, which fits with some of the discussion we're going to have today. And they felt that either the other IRBs weren't as careful as theirs, or they just weren't sure. And the key find, the considerable concern about deferring to other IRBs, and they were most concerned about the informed consent in the settings with teacher-student or MD-patient relationships. They were careful about research in community settings, but they weren't, you know, they weren't at the top of the list of things they were worried about. So that's something to go back and look some more at, too. And I think I'm almost out of time. Here's my next steps. Try to do more with this silly thing. And actually, Sean and I are supposed to be doing something at Primer in December, so I'm going to ramp this thing up big time and try to make some more by then. So this is the preliminary report on the project. Okay. All right. Next.